There's so much forced optimism in the world, and I love it. Like, I love being happy. I don't like being sad, but that's just part of the stupid silliness of life. I thought about how, I can't be happy. If I'm just less sad, then I'm doing pretty good. And this sounds like a bit crazy, but I thought about air conditioners. They don't make cold, they just remove heat. When I'm happy, I'm not happy, I've just removed the sadness. And that's why I love the feeling of averageness is underrated. Feeling average is pretty good. And so I always thought we're kind of wired to focus on the negative stuff of life. Anyone I talk to, if you dig deep enough, they'll go, like, for instance, a friend who's kind of well known for some of his movies. He'll get like 99 positive reviews and one negative one, and that negative one will undo him. And he knows it's stupid, but it's just human nature. And a lot of people would say it's kind of why we still exist. It's a survival instinct. You got to focus on negative stuff to remove it, otherwise you die. Caveman instinct kind of style. But I always thought, if we're wired to focus on the negative, why not use it to our advantage and just call everything stupid until all you're left with is what makes you less sad? So call everything stupid until you're left with the good stuff. Kind of leads me to how I was feeling at the end of last year. I didn't want to pursue optimism. I thought grasping at something always doesn't feel right. Like, I'm going to force myself to be optimistic. There's a striving, and the striving energy to focus on optimism didn't make sense to me. It feels forced. There's a force involved. So what I did instead is not trying to grasp at optimism, but let go of negative shit and letting go, dropping stuff. Because I'm good at being lazy. I'm good at just going, who cares? I'm not going to grasp at positivity. So I just lazily dropped negative shit. Not all of it, because I can't drop it all. It's impossible to drop all negative shit. But all I did was stop watching the news. I thought that in that space between Christmas and New Year's, you can pick up on the collective energy of everyone doing nothing at the same time. Even you can feel politicians are going on holidays then, and the bad news seems to magically just disappear. And it's kind of a thing that they don't want you to piece together. They don't want you to piece together the fact that bad news disappears when they're on holidays. But yeah, I felt that peace at the end of last year between Christmas and New Year's, and the year before as well. It was actually the year before when I really felt it, and I thought, okay, next year I'm going to really kind of be aware of it and enjoy it. So that was last year where I went, okay, I'm really aware of this, because last year, the year before, 2023, I really enjoyed it. I felt sane. And so, yeah, 2024, I felt really enjoying it. I felt even better. I'm going to drop the news for a year. I'm watching old black and white movies, and these old black and white movies are taking me into another time, another place. All this modern stuff it just felt like an extension of politics. All the modern creativity and art just feels like almost borderlines on propaganda, most of it. So I just, I watched old black and white movies, old stuff from the 70s, and it felt so good. It felt so fucking good. Then I naturally found myself kind of, when I dropped the news, I wasn't more positive, but I found myself, there was a space cleared in me somehow where wonder was more apparent in the world to me. The sense of wonder, not positivity. I can't use the word positivity, but it was a sense of wonder. It felt like by ignoring the news, that sense of wonder came, just naturally came back. So I wasn't grasping at positivity. It's a sense of wonderment turned up. And that's when things changed. Because I've been cynical for years, especially since, COVID and lockdowns and all that sort of stuff. You're starting to feel like you're in some vice grip of culture, and and it keeps on pressing in on you, just slowly, slowly. You take, I dropped it. Like, I love cynicism. I think cynicism has a really, really useful value to be able to describe those messy feelings of shit and badness and terror, personal terror. Especially when there's all these wars constantly on our screens distracting us from the war inside ourselves. I love the cynicism of describing the war inside myself and the battle that goes on, and it's endless, and it's fun, and you can make light of it, and you can laugh at it, but my cynicism was borderline kind of getting into nihilism the last few years. And even a few people wrote under, like, comments underneath, is this nihilism? And I've always thought, of course I was like a bit like pissed off. I was like, I'm allowed to describe if I'm feeling shit in an artful way. I really do feel there's value in describing negative feelings in an artful way, but perhaps I was going on it too hard, and I always felt like I was sludging through my own fart, just like recycling my own fart and smelling it, getting a random call. And so yeah, dropping the news last year made me feel so much better into this year, and I felt that sense of wonderment just naturally returned. I didn't have to focus on optimism or try to willfully be happy or anything like that. It just returned by itself. I didn't have to do it. And it feels like that old, there's some old parable, Zen parable, monk parable about someone in a jail, but the door is unlocked the whole time. But they could, because they're in a jail, the context of a jail, and the jail door being closed, they just assume that the door's locked and they can't get out. So they sit in jail for a long time. And that, so I kind of felt like I was that person in the jail with the door unlocked the whole time. And dropping the news helped me. It's almost like I was tipped. I just walked out the door. I just walked out at the door of my own jail. And of course it's going to come back. Like, I'm going to be negative again. I'm going to sort of roll around like a pig in shit with my cynicism at some point, and it'll come back. But it was just a relief, even if it's just temporary for the moment. Maybe it's an age thing as well. Maybe it's because I'm nearly 50. There's this thing where I just go, fuck, I can't be bothered anymore. I can't actually be fucked. I can't be bothered keeping up with who's trying to take away my version of reality. Who gives a shit about my own version of reality? It's like, there's this ongoing reality happening all the time. There's two birds watching you over there, two pigeons. Okay, what's that stupid human crapping on about in the back garden? But yeah. I feel like I still have weird moments. I still have that strange emotional weather patterns that turn up, and I go, and I have to say to myself aloud, I'm in the car, and I'll say, okay, Darby, you're feeling weird right now. You're feeling strange, maybe even a bit shit. What is it? And I'll just say that loud, and my ears hear it, and there's this loop, and I can feel, and I go, I am. That's true. And then I'll list a few bunch of things that may be pissing me off. And those stupid little hyena monsters become nothing temporarily. And of course it just loops and cycles, and I feel it again. I feel good. I don't feel shit. I don't feel shit as much as I have been the last few years. And that kind of led to writing Mum's book. And I've talked about that kind of quite a lot in the last few weeks. Yeah, there's no way I would have been able to write Mum's book without that weird sort of taking a step back to shoot 10 steps forward or whatever. I don't know, there's no linear bullshit metrics for all this stuff, but I'll just go with that for the moment. Yeah, so it's actually strange. I finished editing Mum's book pretty much. There's one or two more things I've got to fix up on it. And then there's the second book that'll be released by Andrews McMeel next year, called You're Gonna Be Okay Because You're Fucked No Matter What, a second edition of it. And that's hard editing that at the moment because it is quite cynical. It's a lot of the stuff that I'd written in a semi... Not dark. Yeah, it was pretty dark, but I tried to make light of it. So it's interesting going back and revisiting the second edition of that I'm trying to edit with the editor at Andrews McMeel of You're Gonna Be Okay Because You're Fucked No Matter What. Title kind of says it all. But I meant that with kind of a positive cynicism, because it's true. As soon as I go... it doesn't matter. I'm screwed. Then I feel kind of semi-sane. But yeah, it is weird editing this stuff that's a little bit more cynical. And if Derby Love takes off, people might want to just find out, what's this other book that he's written? And it'll be very different in tone. So yeah, I'm trying to weed out some of the poems in that second book that don't offer a way out. There's some poems that I've written it's like, this is it, the world's shit and it's fucked, too bad. And it's like, no, Darby, you gotta at least that's okay to say that, but have some kind of balance. And even if one poem is just like that, which is fine. It's fine to have a poem that doesn't offer a way out. Have a few poems that also just are completely the opposite and have doors everywhere to find a way out. I always think that about books. Books are really just one long poem. Like they stand alone on a page and they can be taken out of context of the world of a whole book. But anyway, I've just talked for 13 minutes. Yeah, if you'd like to leave a review on Spotify, Apple, or a comment on YouTube, I'd love it. And yeah, the second book, Derby Love, Alive Things Mum Said to Me Before She Died, is now available for pre-order. And I'll leave the link in the description, but yeah, in the thing. Okay, bye.